Today, we're continuing our look at the impact of the new Republican tax bill on states. The law puts a $10,000 cap on state and local tax deductions to offset cuts to large corporations. Yesterday, we spoke with conservative economist Stephen Moore from the Heritage Foundation. He's long pushed for this cap. He says red states subsidize the higher returns in the blue states, and people in liberal, high-tax states should demand less spending or maybe just rise up and leave.
I do think you are going to see a choice that states are going to have to make. Either they're going to have to lower their taxes to be more competitive, or I do think they're going to face an out-migration of people who say, look, I can pay a 13% tax in New York or California, or I can move to Texas or Florida or New Hampshire or Nevada, states like that that have no income tax and dramatically reduce my tax burdens.
But Democrats in high-tax states say they actually subsidize the red states, which get far more federal dollars than they pay in taxes because they have fewer programs. And now blue states are thinking of their own laws to get around the Republican plan. Let's get that view from Dean Baker, senior economist at the left-leaning Center for Economic and Policy Research. So, Dean, respond to Stephen Moore. Blue state high taxes and the returns after deductions are subsidized by red state voters, blue state voters could demand lower taxes or move to red states. You say what?
Well, a couple of things. First off, I mean, Steve's welcome to tell people in California, New York, they should move to Mississippi and Alabama, and I suppose some will. But I think the vast majority of people in those states are happy where they are. And, of course, they voted for those taxes, or at least they elected the officials who put those taxes in place. So I think it's reasonable to assume that they're not unhappy about their current tax burden, given their level of public services, which, for the most part, they value. In terms of this idea of a subsidy, again, there's been any number of analyses that look at the net flow of tax revenue and government spending, and every one I've seen shows that the blue states, states like California, New York, Illinois, are big net contributors. These are relatively well-to-do states. I mean, you look at in California, Silicon Valley, in New York, Wall Street. I'm not necessarily a fan of everything that goes on both places, but nonetheless, they make a lot of money there, and a lot of that ends up in Washington. They don't get a lot back in various services. So if the point is to kick California in the face, kick New York in the face, well, this tax plan does that. But insofar as you disrupt their economies, the whole country will pay a price for that.
Well, I mean, this applies to a lot of the controversial topics now, including insurance. You know, everyone is supposed to pay in so that everybody is bound to everyone else. But putting that aside, talk about some of the changes that blue states are considering. Legalizing and taxing marijuana. Now, we just saw California start that, recreational marijuana. But then we also just saw the Trump administration Justice Department saying they're going to strengthen the federal laws that President Obama had somewhat loosened against marijuana use. That makes it unlikely that banks will get involved in this legal state marijuana industry. Will the IRS?
Well, this is an interesting question. There's a lot of interesting questions here. First off, there are alternatives to the banking system, and these people involved in marijuana trade, that's legal in California and other states, they will use that.
California is suggesting a public bank.
Yeah. So you're not going to keep these people from growing and selling marijuana. So if that's the intention, it's really just self-defeating from the Trump administration standpoint. Now, will the IRS do this? My understanding is that they are supposed to pay taxes. Thinking way back, not that I was alive at the time, but Al Capone, of course, went to jail for not paying federal income taxes. So my understanding is their obligation is to pay those taxes to the federal government, even if they're engaged in activity that the federal government doesn't recognize as legal.
Talk about the move to classify income tax payments as charitable deductions if those income tax payments going away in the states that had them.
Yeah, I'm going to have to say that the logic here is saying, okay, here's someone who owes 200 or we'll make a 20,000 state income taxes, and that wouldn't be deductible under the current law. At least it would be above the cap on what's deductible. But we want to let them deduct it from their taxes. So instead of paying that as state income tax, what we'll do is we'll let them make a contribution to a state education fund, a state health care fund. We'll give them 100% credit. And then as charitable contributions, they could deduct it against their federal income tax. I would question whether that would pass the test in the courts. It just doesn't sound to me like the sort of thing that passes muster as a charitable contribution.
Yeah. What are some of the other ideas?
Well, the one that I'm most fond of and have been writing about is basically substituting a state employer-side payroll tax for the state income tax. So the way this works, let's make everything as simple as possible. Say you have a state income tax of 5%. Well, instead of having the state income tax of 5%, you say, okay, we're going to have a state employer-side payroll tax of 5%. If I'm working, let's say I earn $200,000 a year, relatively high-income person, and my employer pays 5% on my wages, well, they're going to pay $10,000 on my wages. That's not taxable income for me. The employer, of course, could write that off because they're still subject to the federal income tax. So that's not taxable income for them either.
Would you then make $10,000 less because your employer is paying the taxes for you?
Exactly. That's the next step. So what would happen, what we expect to happen, at least the standard economic story, is that the employer doesn't care whether they're paying the $10,000 to me or the $10,000 to the government. So I'm going to get $190,000 a year instead of $200,000. Now, that leaves me in a wash relative to the state government because I've been paying $10,000 in my wages in state taxes. But the big benefit is when the federal government looks to tax me, they're only looking at an income of $190,000, not an income of $200,000. Workers would actually do well. Now, employers will, of course, complain, but it's a little hard to have too much sympathy for them. They just got a big tax cut.
But they might object because it's a lot more work for them. And Wall Street is definitely going to object to something that New York Governor Andrew Cuomo is suggesting. He's proposing something to close something called the carried interest loophole. Explain what that is, first of all, and then what his idea is.
Well, the carried interest loophole is something that goes back to the 80s, and this is a special provision that's there for people in who run hedge funds, private equity fund, real estate investment trust. Long and short of it is effectively allows the partners in these funds to have their wage income taxed at capital gains rates, which is a much, much lower rate. So currently, with the new tax law, if they were taxed as ordinary wage income, they'd be paying a 37% income tax on it. These are high-income people. Mm. Instead, since it's taxed at the capital gains rate, they'll be paying just 20%. So they're actually being taxed at a lot lower rate on their income than very middle-income people, school teachers, firefighters, who could easily be paying a 22% tax rate. It's very hard to justify this. And really, people across the political spectrum, Donald Trump ran against this during the campaign. They've raised this as being a source of really gross unfairness in the tax code.
Why didn't it get closed in the bill?
Well, it was originally proposed that way by Trump, but these are very powerful people. I remember when I first learned about this, this was probably about 10, 12 years ago, I thought the person who was explaining to me was mistaken. So I looked it up, and in fact, he was right. And then I called a friend of mine, a conservative economist who was in the Bush administration, and I said, well, what is this? And he said, well, these are very powerful people. I said, well, I understand that, but what's the economic rationale? And he said, oh, there isn't one.
Listen, Steve Moore and others are suggesting that states should just, you know, have lower taxes. Why not just blue states lower their taxes? New York's budget is $4 billion in the red. Other high-tax states, Illinois, California, have had financial problems. Why not just have lower taxes?
Well, a couple things. First off, a lot of low-tax states, Kansas had notorious problems. So it's having budget problems isn't something that's just restricted to high-tax states. But the point is people support these taxes. Again, I'm not saying anyone's out there saying, hey, I want to pay high taxes. But they support the services that the taxes buy. They support having a good education system. New York has a good education system. They have a good university system. They do have some public services for the poor, which I think most people in New York thinks a good thing. I mean, no one thinks it's good. I just looked it up, the TANF benefit for a family of three, basically our welfare program. It's a little over $700 a month. That's not high living. But I looked for Louisiana. It's $180 a month. That's not living at all. So you look at the various things that the money goes to, and most people in the state of New York, state of California, the other high-tax states support those programs. So Steve Moore may not like them, and that's fine, but he's in a minority in those states.
Do you think, as Steve Moore and the Heritage Foundation have been very transparent about this, do you think people are going to start leaving the blue states for the red states? I mean, that's been the aim of some of the conservative think tanks for a long time.
No, I mean, again, I don't think anything's written in stone with this tax deal. My guess is that New York and California and the other states will find ways to limit the harm that they suffer. Again, I think I'm a big fan of the payroll side employer-side payroll tax, which I think actually could leave them better off at the end of the day than where they were before. Trying to avoid getting too much into the weeds here, but one of the effects of the employer-side payroll tax is that, in effect, it means that even people who didn't itemize, middle-income people, people earn $70,000, $80,000, $90,000 a year, those people would, in effect, be writing off their state taxes against their federal taxes. So they would actually end up better off than they had been previously.
Dean Baker, a senior economist at the left-leaning Center for Economic and Policy Research. Dean, thank you.
Thanks a lot for having me on.